people that you think are on your corner will still try and bring you down one day. Do you know, obviously, I was talking about Damari Gray. Damari Gray, everybody said it, man. God, this
no one is
it's a thing, useless boy.
I don't think this is the hill you want to die on.
But now, let me ask you guys.
I don't even understand if
Demari no, hold on, I don't even want to talk about, I don't want to talk about my more prolific guys like Eberechi Eze or Sadio Mane. We don't even talk about my big, heavy hitters. I'm talking about my small boys. Let's talk about my small boys. Damari Gray. Look at what the boy became all of a sudden. Everybody.
What has Damari Gray become? Yeah, Damari Gray is like one of the players in a team that's like relegation threatened. Like, is that what we're hyping right now?
No problem. But so okay. Because when he was banging in goals last season, there was a moment that people came to me and Mecca like, yo, we apologize, man. You called it. But I mean, now all of a sudden, because he hasn't started the season that way, we're now like saying, huh, what did he say?
Right, we have an apology segment because I feel like there's a lot of that that needs to go around, like especially Rashford, Dolapo. So I feel like
that's so crazy because I feel like what Mika just said is literally the reason I'm not going to apologize for Rashford after six games. Yeah. Like, relax.
Rashford deserves no apology.
What I call
anyone can run fraud. To be honest.
Okay, well, let me just leave it.
So real quick, let's introduce the podcast for everyone listening. This is Uncut 90, in case you were, unsure. I am your host, Dolakbo, with a few special analysts. First off, we have George.
Hey, it's Lil Pep in the building. Back here to push my agendas. Hey,
what is happening? What's actually happening?
Jay-Z thought about signing me. Guys, before you even say anything, Jay-Z thought about signing me. But I said no.
So is that what Ghanaian Afrobeats is doing right now? Like,
right, see now the lap was easy. This is why no one likes this. Exactly why no one likes
this. Rookie is here as well.
I'm here to keep everybody honest as per usual.
Awesome. Emeka is here.
Hey guys, it's the one and only CEO of the Bad Boy organization. That is King G-Mex, Plan B by himself. You guys know me. I'm that guy. I have never for once come on this pod and I have said a lie. Impossible. I'm a truth teller. And everybody knows this. They back me. They know me. Shout out to the remaining Bad Boy members. That is Akwi, the GOAT. That is Owula, the GOAT. That is Chibi, I don't know, but he's a great guy. Shout out to my boys. We are here. All right. Thank you.
All right, awesome. All the goats. And last but not least, Ernest is here.
Yo, it's your king of Europe. Is your head to, actually is your multi, I want to keep is your multi award winning manager here. Ground up.
Let's go. To the world.
Yeah, I can't list everything. There's a lot going on. Okay.
All right.
Crazy. All right. Thank you so much for that. You guys kind of caught the end of Emeka just like going on a rant before we started here. And I just looked up Damari Gray's season, last season, his numbers. 34 appearances in the league, 5 goals, 4 assists. I'm not sure if that's apology worthy, but I mean, he played all those games, so clearly better than he was doing before that. With that, I want to kind of get started here. We're going to do a little overrated, underrated. I think, we're already kind of thinking along those lines. Just going to throw out a name to one person and just let us know what you think about this person, if they're under, overrated, and why. Emeka, I'm actually going to start with you since, you're in the rant mode. So let's hear more of your opinions. Sure. Graham Porter, overrated, underrated, how do you feel about him?
Absolutely overrated. Absolutely, absolutely overrated. Now, let me tell you guys something. There is, and I'm just glad that you guys brought this up, and I'm not trying not to talk for too long, but as a manager, it's different when you're managing small boys that you can just tell what to do versus when you go to a club with big boys. And it's just a different political complex, a different political scene. You see what I'm saying? Brendan Rodgers was having a great day here and there prior to now moving to the likes of Liverpool when it was like, man, actually the politics makes things so different. You see what I'm saying? Likewise, the likes of Poch. Poch was in Tottenham having the time of his life because, some of those boys were kind of like small, basic boys. And then you go to a team like PSG, all of a sudden it's like, man, they will give you a different political scene setting that just will give you some madness to think about. So my point is Potter has only proven on some very small boy level. You know, he was managing the Ghanaian women at some point. Didn't know that until recently. I'm like, what?
Did not know that until right now.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, he has now become a Chelsea manager. I wish him success, but my point is that he's unproven on a big level. And so until he is proven on a big level, he's, in my opinion, overrated.
So when you say he's overrated, let's talk a little bit more about that, because obviously Chelsea just hired him. We'll talk about the guy that they let go of, and you know, we'll get into that. But are you then saying that Chelsea made a mistake in hiring him?
I'm saying that absolutely yes. You never want to take that type of risk on a manager that is unproven on the big side. See, Poch was available, was he not?
Mm-hmm, he is.
And you know that, okay, Poch has done a dance with teams that have big player, top quality, and can, you know, sort of at least understand the concept and the politics behind managing those players. But Potter was dealing with Veltman and Gross and Neil Maupay.
No, so that's your player. Like, Maupay's your player, by the way. Don't try to hear that.
Exactly. And my point is that none of these guys are Danny Welbeck. Like, obviously, he's going to tell them to run 90 minutes all day and they'll run it. Because it's like, who are these people? You don't know these people. You know what I'm saying? So that's my point, man. Ultimately, he is unproven on a big level, and this is not a risk I would have taken, at least not this at this point in time. You see what I'm saying? I don't think that they've made progress by sacking Tuchel and hiring Potter. Yes, progress was made by sacking Tuchel, in my opinion, but hiring Potter was not progress. It's now just a dance as well that we need to see if it plays out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I thought someone was about to say something. That's why I was like quiet for a second.
I was actually going to say, like, you know, there's really no managers in the market right now. You know, when you look at the market right now, you have Pochettino, who I don't rate, and I don't think he's a better, you know, replacement for Chelsea. I don't think he's any better. Zinedine Zidane is just waiting for the French job.
Yeah, he's not going to Chelsea.
I felt like Chelsea should have just waited after the World Cup. There'll be a lot of managers like in the market after the World Cup, like Luis Enrique and the likes. But hey, they sacked them. Potter could, I mean, he could do a good job. But, like, I don't expect much from him. Let's put it that way.
He's actually managed a lot of big names. I would love him.
But, like, he's also, like, next in line for the Netherlands job to the World Cup.
Oh, he's going back?
Yeah, they already appointed him because of the whole Van Gaal thing.
He's
not really on the market. I think they should have just waited after the World Cup, to be honest. But,
I think they were hasty.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do think they're hasty. I mean, we saw the signs on the wall, and I think it was on this podcast that we talked about it. Like, their form wasn't just this season. We'd already started to see those issues since, like, December of last year. But, like George just mentioned, there aren't a lot of managers on the market. And I just don't feel like you just spent £300 million getting these guys, like, his signings. And then you sack him, 6 days after the window closes? What was the point? Like, we're still in September. And it's not like these guys were losing games left and right. So I'm really trying to understand the logic behind backing him so hard and then sacking him just days after the window closes. And then hiring someone who, I'm sorry, is not at his caliber. I was just looking it up. Potter's win percentage is 28.3%, which, yeah, he's managing a team like Brighton. Sure, you can't expect
exactly
to be winning half his matches, but at the same time, I think people have gotten swept up in the hype because they look good rather than understanding that it takes more than just looking good and playing nice ball to be a successful manager.
I see what you're saying, right? But I'm going to defend the Potter move because I like the move. I like sacking Tuchel, first of all. Great move. It was coming. We've been begging and asking since. All the Chelsea fans, Vic, everyone that we've been asking and asking. I was the first person to ask. They said, why are you asking? Now we see what happened. I like Potter, even though it's a risk, of course. They could have gone someone that's like seasoned. But they're trying to play attractive football. They're a big team. They don't want to be playing five defenders. Like, come on. You're Chelsea. That's unbecoming. Unbecoming.
So where did all of this hate of Tuchel come from? Because I haven't seen anyone ask when somebody's going to get fired so much. Like, they're always asking when is Tuchel getting fired? Is he fired? Like,
it's actually not even hate.
Yeah, but okay, but I don't think it was hate. I just think it was performances that were just like poor. But I will say this. Okay, so yes, they lost to Zagreb. Zagreb is not no easy team, respectfully. I mean, that's one of Croatia's, if not Croatia's best.
Oh, clubs. Stop, Emeka, stop.
Right? No. Hold on.
Chelsea spends the most money, bro. Wait.
No problem. That's fair. Aubameyang played that game. Absolute waste, man. But it's okay. Okay, so then Southampton, Chelsea. Okay, they lost 2-1. I think that more so was the nail to the coffin, if I'm being honest. And then we knew they took three at Leeds. However, that was a game where that was strange, you know, and then that day, that game Koulibaly got red card.
What are these excuses, man?
I'm just saying that Chelsea took 3 L's that they were not supposed to take. And so understandably, I can see that maybe the ownership and the fans were getting frustrated with Tuchel. However,
the interesting thing is the fans actually were upset.
Wanted him to stay, yeah.
Yeah, like the fans have actually been very supportive of Tuchel.
So exactly. So testament to that point, I think that, okay, yes, similar to the Arteta starts of the season that was last year, you know, when we took 3 L's on the jump, essentially. I think this was Chelsea's opportunity to say, okay, let's ride with this manager and then just maybe give it another like 2, 3, 4 weeks and or give it till midway through the season because the World Cup is going to give us a break anyways in the event that we keep on losing. And then at that point in time, we can really reevaluate what's going on. But yeah, now this guy has made. So this guy has... Guys, do you know off the top of my head, I can name 6 players this guy signed? Just this window? It's ridiculous how many players he signed. You see what I'm saying? So at least give the guy some time to try and see if he can make them.
Right.
Apparently, he even like pleaded with them, like, yo, guys, I get it, but like, just hear me out. Give me some more time.
Yeah,
I get where you guys are coming from. Yeah, so I think it was sad, but then again, you know, we'll see what happens with Potter. You know, I like new energy. So I do think Sterling and Aubameyang will step up as a result. But we'll see what happens, man.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. No. We'll see what happens. I'm pulling for Potter. I hope he does well. You know, we need more good football. George, I want to ask you about Tuchel. Do you think he's overrated, underrated? How do you feel about him as a manager?
I mean, you already know how I feel about him. I think he's overrated. Look at his career, bro. He played. Yeah, he coached at Dortmund, but what did he do? Right, he went to PSG, took them to the Champions League final, but COVID season. Did you get? came to Chelsea, took them to the Champions League final, won it because Pep decided not to play a DM. Like, I've not been impressed with a guy throughout his whole time at Chelsea. Do you get it? So I'm not even trying to be funny. I don't get the hype around the guy. I really don't. At one point, they were comparing him to Klopp and Pep, which to me was like, yo, what the hell, bro?
They're not comparing Arteta to Klopp, so like that's not.
Let's not start with that. That's what is even annoying me. But let's not start with that. Tuchel, I don't rate him as much. I think he's a good manager, but that's where it ends. Like, there's nothing more to him.
He has more points than Klopp right now. You know, Chelsea is sixth on the table. Liverpool is seventh. Should they have fired Klopp as well?
Klopp probably has a little bit more like in the bank from things he's done.
But that's Liverpool the thing. The only thing Klopp has over Tuchel was EPL. But let's not even start with that. Yeah, that's the only trophy he has over.
That's the only trophy. But guys, we can't just talk about trophies and act like nothing else matters. We know that Liverpool is consistently like top two, pretty much, for the past few years. Even though you don't get a trophy for being second, that's better than being fourth, struggling to get into top four, which is what Tuchel has been doing at Chelsea. Even when they signed his striker for him and he didn't do anything. So I think saying all he has is a trophy over him is a little unfair.
All I'm saying is if Klopp was managing Chelsea, he would also, you know, have gotten a sack by now. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I don't know what that's based on. Emeka, I want to ask you about Klopp. What do you think about him? Overrated, underrated? To the point that George just made, I saw a graphic recently that during the respective times at Liverpool and Chelsea, Klopp just has the one trophy more than Tuchel had, which is the Premier League. Of course, we know Klopp has been at Liverpool way longer than Tuchel was at Chelsea. So at this point, is Klopp overrated, underrated? How do you feel?
I don't think he's overrated and I don't think he's underrated. You see what I'm saying?
He's just rated correctly.
Yeah, I think he's rated correctly. Let's be honest. Yes, you know, Klopp can sometimes do better, but this man making it to Champions League finals, like, it's peanuts. You see what I'm saying? Like, wasn't he in the finals back-to-back twice in a row? And then one of those two times he won it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And then the first time, I think that was when Ramos did the thing with Salah's shoulder. It was a very sad day for Liverpool that day. But ultimately, he has won the league and is consistently right behind Pep when Pep doesn't win it. That's one. And then two, the points differential are usually very close. In fact, sometimes it's only a game or two that separates the two teams, you know. So I do think that
it's only ever happened twice.
Yeah, I mean twice, but that's still a lot. If you think also that he also has been to Champions League twice or three times since his time at Liverpool, you see what I'm saying? So I think honestly, I think he deserves the accolades and respect that he gets. I don't think he's overrated. I don't think he's underrated. I think he's just fine where he is. However, I do think this season is more so revealing of where he is mentally. I think maybe he's getting a bit more fatigued. Just because some of the decision making that he has been making, it kind of is revealing some I guess maybe weaknesses in him. For example, letting go of Sadio Mane, I think was a low. I don't think that was a smart thing to do, especially if you are trying to win titles as opposed to just compete for top four, etc. Because that's a killer right there that you got rid of. That's one. And then, you know, just not being able to see the weaknesses in your team. Like, you know, now you've signed Arthur, I believe, unknown. Uh-huh. It's like, what the hell is Arthur gonna do for you? You know what I mean?
That guy's like one of the worst midfielders. I don't know why people keep signing.
Yeah,
you need someone who can pass to the side.
Arthur Melo, I don't think is that great. I'm not sure of the signing. And then Darwin Nunez is, in fact, easily the biggest flop. I'm not gonna just tell you guys right now. The biggest L that any club has taken this season is Liverpool on the basis of signing a player like Darwin Nunez. I'm telling you, and I've said this before, attractive white males just slide under the radar. I know Darwin is technically not white, but my point is that if you're attractive, you're good looking, you'll get away with so much in this life. Look at Jack Grealish. You stroke his hair backwards, you massage his yams a little bit, all of a sudden we're signing him for 100 million. Okay, fine, great, big L there. Okay, then Darwin Nunez, now you signed this man for 100 million? You've signed this man for 100 million. Look at Haaland. Haaland was signed for 60, release clause was released. Man has banged you 12 goals. A science experiment, nobody's signing him. He's ugly. But my point is, Nunez is just beautiful. Beautiful man. Beautiful man. And then next thing you know, his first home game for Liverpool, what does he get? Dolapo, a red card. Man has no idea what's going on. He's an atomic bomb. In fact, I'm sure everybody regrets the signing.
Wow.
I'm sure everybody regrets the signing. Easily the biggest end of the season. This boy won't put up 20 goals this season. I'm telling you guys right now.
Okay. I don't think you're going to get any arguments over the 20 goals. 20 goals is a lot. And he definitely has to adjust. Rookie, I want to ask you, though, because it sounded like when Emeka was speaking, you did not agree at all.
But just before you do that, I want to add something that I've been hearing on the pod. I feel like people take it as a slight on Dortmund for having Haaland go for 60 million because it was in his release clause. I just don't think it was that much in their control. Like, a talent like Haaland coming to your club from Austria with all of that hype, he and his team are going to demand that sort of release clause. And you're not going to say, oh, no, it's going to be at 1 billion like Barca and Madrid do it, or we'll not sign you. If you won't do that, Juventus and other clubs were coming for him. So I feel like that 60 million, yes, it was a bargain, but it's not a slight on Dortmund. That was literally what they had to do to have him for the time that they did.
To add to that, I feel like the season prior, like, teams were trying to sign him for like 150. Chelsea was one of them. But Dortmund decided not to sell. So it's on them for knowing that, okay, his release clause is going to drop to 50 or 60 million, and then you turn away like 150 million the season prior.
Was he really trying to leave then, though? I feel like...
He was open
come
to
on,
it.
It's money. If someone paid for that and Dortmund told
him... He was open to it.
He'll probably go. Like, let's be serious. Look at the amount of money that City were trying to, like, pay for Kane.
Mm.
If they put in word that, we'll take this amount of money, I'm pretty sure someone could have, like, probably bought him last season.
I wasn't aware he was open to a move then. I know his family, like, before a transfer, they'll have, like, a whole board meeting, consult with the oracles, all of that stuff. I don't even know. I think they had planned to sort of see it till the end. And also, Dortmund needed him around for as long as they could. Even in City now, he has a release clause for, like, after three seasons, 150, and then he'll go to Barca. So, yeah, so, like, you have all of those. He's factored in all of those.
Yeah. Rookie's face, man. I was like, yo, what the hell?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, though, in bringing up the fact that, like, he's not, like, one of these ordinary players. Like, he has a whole ass team, and he has a plan. Like, he didn't just go to Dortmund off of, like, I'm going to, like, he went to Dortmund as a stepping stone. He knew he was going to go to, like, a Man City, Real Madrid level team right after. Like, so, like, to Ernest's point, like, it's part of the plan. It's part of the process. And for Dortmund to have him, they probably just had to make that deal of, like, okay, we'll allow you to leave for this kind of a price so that you can basically pick where you want to go. Like, I think that's essentially what happened. And, you know, more power to him. And as you've mentioned, like, he already has things in place. If he ever wants to leave City, like, he can leave. They're not going to hold him back because he has that release clause that you just mentioned. But Ricky, go ahead. Go ahead. I think you were about to say something.
No, you were asking me something. I don't know what you're going to ask me, though.
Yeah, when Emeka was speaking, you were making all kinds of faces. So I want to know what the faces are about.
Oh, I don't remember which part. You said so much.
Yeah, Emeka was talking about, what was Emeka just talking about? He was talking about Klopp. And it was saying Klopp is rated correctly. And you were making faces, and I didn't know what the faces meant.
So I actually don't disagree with Emeka. I do think Klopp is rated correctly. I think where I was disagreeing was probably about the closeness between him and Pep. Like, I don't think there's any competition since Pep has come to the league. Klopp has only ever won the league once.
And Pep has not won the Champions League.
We're talking about the league, though.
But we're talking about the league.
Okay, we're talking about managerial abilities. We're not talking about EPL. We're talking about inherent managerial abilities. Klopp has won Club World Cup.
Hold on.
He has won Champions
League. You already spoke.
But if that's what you're saying, then
you
Pep has also won it twice.
The specific, like, point that it's always close between them, and where I was making the face is that, no, it's not always close between them. It's been close two seasons.
You know what, Ricky? You're just bitter, okay? Ricky?
Yo,
Ricky,
no.
You know what?
No.
You're just a salty individual.
No,
okay?
No.
You're just a salty individual.
Listen, it has been close two seasons. One of the seasons, Liverpool was actually supposed to win it, and then they fumbled an 8-point lead.
Correct.
You get. So it has been closely, and even that one season, last season, I think Pep was just relaxed. Let's be honest.
And like I said, when I first started speaking, Emeka, I said, I don't disagree with you. I do believe Klopp is rated correctly. However, if we're talking specifically about the league, no, he's like, there's no comparison between him and Pep.
Dolapo, I heard what Ricky had to say. I don't know how you can then say there is no, okay, but no problem. Now, 21-22 season, Man City won that season with 93 points. Klopp came in second with 92 points. Thank you so much. What's the point differential there? It's one. Okay, then 2021 season, okay, Liverpool did not excel in the league.
However, they finished third.
But where did they finish in the Champions League?
They did not win that season either.
But yeah, we're talking about the league. Champions League, no problem. Okay, then now 29-20.
They didn't win. That was the season.
They got out in the quarterfinals, bro. Like, what do you even
exactly
say?
Exactly. Did Man City go past that too? Okay, then.
That's
not the point.
What are you even saying?
That's not the point.
Man City was in the final that season.
We're talking about closeness. So only thus far, only one season has not been close. The season prior,
29. First of all, I specifically said the league, so I don't even know why you're bringing up.
Okay, no problem. Well, first of all, you're just bitter. Okay, because you guys won't let me claim Haaland, okay? So you're just bitter. Okay, so 2019-2020, Liverpool won. 2019-2020, Liverpool won.
Correct.
Pep was second, and my point differential was 17 points.
Because the FA helped him.
Yeah, because the FA helped him.
The FA helped him. Okay, man.
Now, did you hear that, Dolapo?
I heard that. That's crazy.
Now, Dolapo, the season before that, 2018-2019, City won 98 points. Liverpool, 97 points, second
place. They were supposed to win it that season. They had an 8-point lead, bro.
So that's my point, man. Guys, it's been really close. And in the meantime,
You don't go for the other. You just stop there, right?
How many seasons back do you want me to go?
What he just pulled out his phone to talk about is exactly what I said.
It is exactly what you said.
Only two races in five seasons,
guys. Okay. Well, point is, I think Pep needs to win a Champions League and or a Club World Cup.
He's already won it. He's won it twice, Emeka. He's won two Champions League and he's won two Club World Cups.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we're talking about Club World Cups, guys. Like, this is not a real competition.
Because the Club World Cup is literally the World Cup.
It's not, guys.
Arsenal fans wouldn't know anything about a Club World Cup. That's why.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know anything about Champions League.
Like, they have no idea.
Salted chips. Just salted.
Come on, let's go.
Yo, all right. So the next question, you guys actually led me right into the next one. I have all these questions. They're in different orders, but you know, we're going out of order because you're on the fly. We're feeling good. Ernest, the next one is for you. I want to ask you overrated, underrated, correctly rated. It's about EPL as a league. How do you feel about it? Because we talked about, I heard an argument about how close the league has been. And it sounds like between the two people that I know are going to go hard for the EPL, they're not sure if the league has actually been close. So now I'm wondering, if that's the case, then is this league correctly rated at the moment? So what do you think, Ernest?
I see why you got an Ernest instead of someone who's an EPL fan for this episode.
I feel like this is a very, interesting question. So in terms of the Prem, right, I rate it very highly in terms of, so basically, if you look at La Liga, we have a president who is actively working against the league, you know? People have signings, they can't register them. Meanwhile, other leagues are basically overtaking them in terms of purchasing power, all of that. So in terms of funds, in terms of purchasing power, in terms of getting your product out there, doing Premier League mornings in Atlanta, Miami, getting people who don't even have no business with their sports to go and rep for Everton, all of that, EPL is really up there in terms of broadcasting, pushing the product out there. My only problem with the league, where I now seem to think is overrated, is the whole Farmers League rhetoric that they introduced. Because I feel like that was really, I'm pretty sure that that was introduced to sort of make up for underperforming teams in the Prem. So back then I heard it a lot from Arsenal fans, a lot where Arsenal couldn't break top four. And as soon as you point that out, they want to tell you that, okay, the other people they are competing against are farmers. So that's where the other leagues are full of farmers. So
trying to say them not making top four is understandable because the league is so hard compared to any other league.
So hard, and the quality is so crazy, and they have Avengers, Hulk is playing goalkeeper, and then you go and watch soccer, the only way we can really tell is when we go and meet each other. And that one is it's not even close. I think it was the episode where Madrid won. I had a breakdown. It was in this century, the 21st century or whatever. I think it's La Liga had won 11. EPL was on 5. That's UCL. And in Europa, it was La Liga was at 10 and EPL was at 4. Something like that. It wasn't even close. And if you look at the head-to-head, La Liga has also beaten English teams. Now, another thing that we also look at a lot is competition within the league.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, there's teams that have a lot of big resources compared to the other teams, and you expect them to win it. That's a common thing that happens everywhere. But it's not a healthy thing competition-wise to have one team consistently winning it, especially how we have for City. Where it's now, a lot of us can comfortably say that we know that City are going to win it unless some crazy disaster happens.
Uh-huh.
So that is not good. You don't have that happening in most of the other leagues. You actually have that happening in the Uber Eats League. Yeah. PSG and Man City are both 4 out of 5. And they both haven't won UCL. So they are just dominating their leagues and they go to Europe and nothing. That's PSG and that's Man City. It's the same situation over there. And also, then you have to also look at, if City were winning it 4 out of 5, maybe it was hard for them to win it. Something like that, because there's competition. To be honest, it's battle for top four is the wildest, unpredictable thing in EPL. That's what I'll give them. If you look at the race where City won it 4 out of 5, there's only been two title races that have been tight. is the one that Pep just won right now.
Uh-huh.
And then the one that he won after he got the 100 points. I think it was the 98 versus 97 points for Liverpool. And the one that just happened, which was, what, 93 versus 92.
Uh-huh.
The rest of them have all been washes, including when Liverpool won it.
Uh-huh.
So I don't, you don't normally watch EPL and have like a last minute battle to first place.
That title race.
So in terms of the league, branding and merchandising, being positive and working for the product, I'll say EPL is the best in the world by far. But in terms of quality and competition, it's definitely overrated. Like, you just have to watch a few games where they meet other leagues. You have to look at the competition within the league. You have to just do the eye test. It's grossly overrated. And that's just what happens when you... It's just the marketing. It's just
the marketing. Might add more to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so where I want to come in is, when did, like, you know, the EP... Like, when did they have that label? What year, right, did people consider the EPL to be the most competitive league in the world? Like, when did that start? Like, when did that happen? Because we can go all the way back to maybe when I started watching soccer, right? The only team that has been dominating the EPL is Manchester United. Did you get? They won the league, like, what, 13 times out of, like, 20? Did you get? So, like...
Rookie.
Like,
I get your point. 20. So, like, when was it competitive
if United was winning it all the time? And at that time, you could clearly see that United was, like, the best team in the sense that, in the EPL, though. They were the best team in the EPL. They had more money. They had more purchasing power. Do you get? So, they were the best team. Move past the United era. Do you get? Past the United era, which team has dominated since then? Manchester City, one team, again, one team that dominated from the Manchester United era is with Manchester City. They have more money, more purchasing power, they have the best coach in the world, all that good stuff. Do you get? Now, compare that to other leagues. La Liga, for example, we've had two teams since, like, I don't know, since 2005, 2004, we've had two teams. Maybe before that, we've also had two teams. But like even that, we know that, okay, every single time, it's either Barcelona or Real Madrid. And then maybe you have Atletico Madrid. You can have your Valencia moment. You can have your Deportivo de la Corona moment. You can have all those moments. So when you have all these going on for other leagues, in the EPL, it's just two teams. It's always two teams. And even the two teams, the second team is almost like they are forcing the competition on the first team. And that's what they're doing right now. They're forcing, like, some type of competition for between Liverpool and Manchester City, when we already know that Manchester City is clear, you know, ahead of everyone in the league. And I think Emeka even made a point. This was way back. Emeka used to say that even when you consider teams, there's a category A team, there's a category B team, there's a category C team.
Uh-huh.
At the time when he made that comparison, there was a lot of category B teams in the EPL. So in a sense, it seems like they're all competitive. Whereas in like in La Liga, you have two category A teams. You go to Germany, there's one category A team. Do you get? America, you remember the time you brought that argument up, right? Exactly. So now they've moved the argument from, okay, now it's not that it's competitive in the sense that we don't know who's going to win the league, but it's competitive because we don't know who's going to finish top four. So now they've moved from top four to top six. Soon they'll go to top seven. Do you get? So now they keep adding more teams to it because, like, okay, Newcastle now has a lot of money, so now they're looking at pushing Newcastle up to the top. They were pushing West Ham as a top seven team. They were saying that West Ham, Arsenal, United, all these guys are fighting for top four. I'm like, God, it's the same in every other league. You have Sevilla, you have Real Betis, you have Valencia, you have Villarreal. You have all these guys also fighting for top four. Do you get? We have our constant three in La Liga 2. Barcelona, Madrid, Atletico Madrid. When you go to the top four, you have Valencia fighting for it. You have Villarreal fighting for it. You have Real Betis. You have like you have all these teams also fighting for it too. So what makes the EPL so competitive? It's not the kind of football they play, because the kind of football they play, it was Pep that introduced it. Do you get? Pep came into your league and introduced exciting football. Before that, yeah, you had Wenger. But when Wenger meets Barcelona, we all know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get? So before that, Pep has come into your league, brought all this attractive type of football. Now you see Graham Potter trying to play tiki-taka. You see who else? That's it. That's where it ends. The rest are just...
I'm about to say, EPL does not... Like, most teams don't play like that regardless, even now.
You have teams that actually possess the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you look at Bayern, Bayern doesn't play tiki-taka, but they always possess the ball. But like when you come to the EPL team, how many attacking teams are there in the EPL team? I mean, the EPL league. How many attacking teams? Just a couple, like 4 or 5. The rest are just defensive, and then they hit you on the counter. So what makes them so... What kind of football do they play that's so competitive? Like, where is the competition? Where is that competition that people talk about is the most competitive league? It's not. You have one team dominating. After the Man City era is done, we'll go to the Newcastle era. G-get. And then from there, they'll move from top 4 to top 6, top 7, top 8. They'll even push Leeds in at some point. Bro, it's like EPL is not competitive. You want to talk competitive league, you go to La Liga. We've had two teams dominating. G-get. And then maybe you got that
Atletico Madrid. Serie A as well.
Serie A too. Yeah. When Juventus was done, there was the AC Milan, there was Inter Milan. G-get. Napoli, although they've never won it, but you know, they're always in the race. G-G, you go to France, okay, mostly PSG. Bayern, okay, mostly Bayern.
Why are you going there?
G-G, so
you've already gone to the right places. That's enough. Yeah,
so that's enough. To me, the two most competitive leagues in the world is La Liga and Serie A. Serie A is getting there. They went down. Like they are very competitive. But like they are coming back up.
Yeah, Serie A is like race for top place, like first place. They're actually
pretty. Yeah, it's the only league that now you don't even know who is gonna win it.
Okay, I think you made a lot of good points. I will say the Serie A thing could probably call into question the quality of that league. So there's definitely competition. Like I think we have the two. There's competition and there's quality. I think Serie A definitely has competition. Like no one could argue that. At the moment, quality wise, their performances in Champions League they get ran through by everyone.
I mean, you're getting
to differentiate the two. The league competition, I rate it between the leagues, like how they play against each other, and quality. I sort of do it when they face other teams in Europe, also by the eye test. Uh-huh. So, competition and quality, EPL is definitely overrated. But one thing I'll give them, like I always said, the merchandising and just pushing them is A1.
Sure.
Like, even look at FPL. Like, you can't even find something similar that you...
No one else does it.
You try and find one for La Liga, like, it's like 7 different apps trying to do the same thing. It's like, it's not even endorsed by the league itself.
Mm-hmm.
That type of stuff is important because, like, then you have Arsenal, even Everton, you have Liverpool with big fan bases, and everybody wants to tune in and watch their team. Mm-hmm. So that creates that noise and that creates that buzz. So every goal feels like... It's crazy because you have so many more people celebrating a goal because they just have that fan base. But if you actually
I also feel like a lot of people also tune in to watch EPL mostly because of FPL. Let's be honest. Like a lot of people track EPL because of their FPL teams.
Of course, like, that's a huge part of it. But I think it goes to this point of the brand. Emeka, I want to ask you about the comment that's been made about the quality of the EPL, right? So, like, I don't think there's any point in even arguing about the marketing and the brand, like, that the EPL is. That's undeniable, right? But the quality of the EPL being overrated, how do you feel about that? Like, what's your reaction to that statement?
I mean, this is the Uncut 90. This is not the biased podcast. So if you have 3 people on the panel that are La Liga fans and support La Liga teams, I mean, it's no coincidence that obviously they will claim that La Liga is the more competitive, more blah, blah league. That's one. And then 2, to say that the quality in England is not high is quite incorrect. But anyways, let me just start with the facts and the data, okay? Italian teams that have won the Champions League, and the quantity is a total of 12. You know, Milan 1-7, Inter 1-3, Juve 1-2. So that's 12, no? Okay, no problem. Then Spain obviously is the highest because Madrid over the years have had a lot of money to spend. So they have 19. They have 19 in total, all the Spanish teams. If you sum all their winnings. And then England is 14 or 15. I'd have to go back and check the number, but it's either 14 or 15. I want to say it's 14. Okay, so the difference of 5. Is between England and Spain as far as who has won the Champions League. I don't think that difference is that large, especially now that we've seen that era of football that Spain just happened to get, respectfully, is just one that was so surreal. And I understand where you guys are coming from. It's just this thing is coming in waves. And unfortunately, the Spanish wave is now coming to pass. Let's just be honest here. There was a time that the Spanish teams like Barca had Samuel Eto'o, Ronaldinho, Lionel Messi, Thierry Henry, Yaya Touré, etc. Right? Madrid had the likes of Guti, Zinedine Zidane, R9, Luis Figo, Gareth Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, respectfully, guys, the wave of excellence, they haven't mentioned Neymar, Suarez. Anyways, that wave was just such a high, strong quality of football that, yes, we can understand why Madrid has won almost 5 in a row. And, you know, if you take that one season out, they almost won 5 in a row. Obviously, the likes of MSN in Spain was just, with Iniesta and Xavi in the back, was just such a high time for them. And so if you look at recent history, yes, Madrid and the likes of Spain has stepped into that light because of the quality that came their way. And we thank them for that, and we honor them for that. But let's be honest here, that wave was just so surreal. You know, it was almost an anomaly in a way. So I don't think you guys can now discredit English football because we just didn't have that flow of quality. You know, these guys are now even trying to bring in Serie A, as though it's this very competitive league that is now just striving. Mind you, Lukaku is one of their best players out there, which is just a shocker. Which is just a shocker. So for you guys to come here and try to belittle the English Premier League that you guys have also supported so dearly and gives you so much fun week in, week out on the weekends, it's just so surreal. You're now making it look like it's merchandising. Mind you, this is a league that equally is gifted with when it comes to quality of football now, at least. Let's be honest. Right now, we are more confident in Man City beating Barca than we are 4, 5, 6 years ago when MSN was in Barca. Is that right?
That's true.
Yeah, because that's now you have Barcelona's backboard, bro. You have Barcelona's backboard working for Man City.
George, you're biased. I'm just trying to be factual.
No, I'm not being biased. I'm just telling you the facts. The people running Man City right now used to run Barcelona. Okay. It's just what it is.
No problem. But my point is, ultimately, now we are more confident that City would win those games.
And yeah, because now we've seen the
shift. Well, that's because now we've seen the shift of quality, Delapo. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because now you know that, okay, you have Erling Haaland, you have Pep Guardiola managing them, you have the likes of Phil Foden, you have the likes of...
Jack Grealish.
Okay. So then my point ultimately is that you've now seen that the quality has shifted, and with that, you have to now start respecting English teams. So is it a farmer's league? No, it's not a farmer's league. Because again, like I've said, the point differential when Pep is winning these leagues is not that great. Let's be honest.
But England, we all know. We're back to this point.
Only two seasons that were close, bro. Like, I don't know how people like to explain that.
Three seasons that were close.
Two seasons that were close out of five. Like,
I named three, but okay. So then ultimately, okay, I get where you guys are coming from. Yes, it does look like Pep is winning the more. So he's now not translating that to win the Champions League. And that's their point. This eye test that this guy created from his nyash, he's now saying the eye test, blah, 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 the eye test. What the fuck are you talking about? But anyways, if you just call a spade, yes, Madrid has had their wave because they had that quality to back up that wave. But now let's just see what is going to happen. And my point is that you're going to see that now Spain is not going to be winning it as easily because that quality has now faded.
And okay.
We'll back it up.
One more point. Mm-hmm. I also think in the EPO, what you guys are not noticing is that the players that you guys have now, like you look at Man City, right? They do have a lot of older players now. The thing is, this Madrid, Barcelona thing, we are moving away from it. We are now having, you know, the younger players coming in. So by the time you guys will have your KDBs for 31, 32, by the time that wave of players, once they retire, then you're now going to go through that transitional phase again. Do you get it? You guys don't even know. Let Pep even leave. Let Klopp leave. Then that's it for the EPO. You have Graham Potter and what's his name?
Ateta. Yeah.
Eddie Howe fighting for the
EPO
now.
Yeah, Pope, I want to clarify. So I know you spent a lot of time on this topic, but I just want to clarify a point I made. So when you talk about quality and I mentioned the word overrated, I never once said EPL has low quality or is not good. I mentioned the word overrated because it's relative to the hype that it gets. Mm. When you hear the comments about other leagues being farmers, and even previously before there were some key matchups, and you hear people saying like, oh, if Brighton enters La Liga, they'll be third, or all of those comments were things all of those comments were commonplace. Like Fulham will go to La Liga and be fourth. Those kind of things. So that is what you call hype. And when I say the quality is overrated, I'm saying that it is not matching to those statements. Uh-huh. That's the point that they are at. And then I'm saying that it just doesn't match. I'm not saying that they are a bad league, that when you watch it, players are just carrying balls left and right. There's some of that, but it's just relative to the hype that it gets. From listening to EPL fans, you wouldn't fathom them struggling against Sociedad, Zagreb, all of it. You wouldn't fathom even a tight game from just going off of hype alone. And that's my point.
Okay. No, fair enough, right? I think the hype definitely is... There's a lot of hype. Rookie, real quick, before we get off this EPL leak then, because I don't know, Rookie's being quiet. I don't know why she's trying to not join the conversation. But I want to ask you about the comment that's been made about the competition level in EPL, right? Because we talked about the gap or the lack of gap, depending on your perspective, on City mm-hmm. winning the league, 4 out of 5, and if it's been close. In general, do you think that the competition level in EPL, do you agree or disagree with Ernest when he says that it's overrated?
I disagree, because I think part of why the EPL gets so much hype is because on any given weekend, West Brom can slap Chelsea 5-2. You know what I mean? So I feel like it is competitive, because even the smaller teams, there's no, like, other leagues, trying to think of a random team in Germany. I don't know, Hertha Berlin. Uh-huh. Facing Bayern, you know, okay, the scoreline is probably going to be like, what, 7-0. If Dortmund faces them, it's going to be like 4-1, something like that. Whereas with EPL, it can really go any way, especially if you catch one of these big teams on a bad day. So for me, I feel like from a competitive standpoint, Ernest is being a little harsh there when he says it's overrated, because I think in terms of results and just even the excitement of those games, it's a lot better with EPL than it is with other leagues. Same thing with the French league. Like, if we're going to talk about a farmers league, there's Ligue 1 right there. PSG, when they lose, you look at the lineup and it's because their star players are on vacation somewhere and they're not playing. That's when that happens.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to get your 2 cents on it. We could talk about this all day long.
And everyone's always going to have a different opinion.
Right.
Everyone's going to want back the league that their team is from, so.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm, you know, just looking at recent results, Bayern, I don't know if you guys are aware, they actually didn't win this weekend. They don't win all their games. Same as PSG, you know, so I know we always do this, like West Brom can beat Chelsea, but it happens everywhere.
What I will say, though, that's is true. I am an EPL fan through and through, but I'm definitely, I'd say, one of the EPL fans who doesn't like when other leagues get called farmers leagues, just because I don't think it's fair to call another league that you don't watch a farmers league. If you don't watch it and you don't follow it, who are you to say that one league is a farmers league or not? I think if you actually watch it and you watch their games and you see how these teams play, then you have more nuance to say those things. But 9 times out of 10, people who say that, they don't watch other leagues. They watch their league, they watch Champions League, and that's it. So that's what I said. Like, I don't think it's fair to call any league, some leagues, sure. Sue me. But I just think that it gets thrown about far too often. Uh-huh. And like George pointed out, in Champions League, yes, you know, EPL teams got found out, man. Like, we're over here calling, you know, La Liga, Farmers League, Lyon. Was it Lyon?
Yeah, Lyon.
Yeah, the smacked City, what was that, 2 or 3 seasons ago? Okay, I'm talking about Champions League, though. So he won 100 points.
He won 100 points in the EPL.
Right, and then got bounced out by a team that you would say, is a lesser team in a supposed farmers league. So how are they really farmers if they're out here bouncing Pep and his 100-pointers out of Champions League? So no, I don't think that's my thing when it comes to that topic. If you don't watch the other leagues, then just shut up about it, because you don't even know. what goes on.
And also, in other leagues, the title winner does not finish the league with 90 points for 5 seasons straight. Like, that never happens, bro. Jigit, like, no one wins the La Liga with 90-plus points for 5 seasons. Pep's best season, the season won the treble, he did not even finish with 90 points. So you have two teams, or let's say one team in one league, constantly finishing with more than 90 points. And then you want to tell me it's competitive? No.
Okay, we're not going to tell you it's competitive again, George. We apologize. Last over underrated, because this definitely went way longer than I expected. We're going to record for 3 hours tonight. Emeka, I want to ask you, Marcus Rashford, I don't know your opinion on him, but you know, there's been a lot of debates over the past few months, probably for ever since the guy broke on the scene. We've been debating the guy. But it's been heating up recently, you know, I think probably because he scored more recently. We thank God for him. But overrated, underrated, how do you feel about Marcus Rashford?
Yes, I think Marcus Rashford is a very, very unique case study. Reason being that Marcus Rashford honestly has what I believe he has what it takes to be a top-notch player. That is, he has the pace that comes with the paciness of a really good striker. He has the movement. Every once in a while, you can see that he knows how to move. He has the shooting ability. That is, he can pick a corner and hit the ball towards that corner and successfully hit it the right way. And I think he then also has just the strength. Sometimes he has the what's it called? The determination as well of a striker. However, I think that right now he's not unlocked. So similar to like a friend of mine, Moyo, he was not unlocked until I unlocked him. I think Marcus Rashford is not unlocked. So right now, because he is not unlocked and he is now also given this accolade of top-notch player, I think therefore that makes him overrated. However, do I believe he has the capacity to rise up to a level where he will now be getting 20 to 25 goals every season? Absolutely, I think he does. So right now, I will say overrated, but I think he inherently has the capacity to become a Harry Kane of the league.
That's right. Wow.
I think actually even Harry Kane might not be... I think he has... Okay, he doesn't have the passing quality of Harry Kane. I'm not trying to compare the two of them. But I do think that when the right manager comes in, I just think that that hasn't happened yet for him. When the right manager comes in, I think he will thrive and then he can start getting to the level of 25 to 30 goals a season. So right now, I think he's overrated, correct.
Okay, and before we move off of it, do you think Ten Hag is that right manager for him?
I will need more time. Right now, it does look like Ten Hag is believing of him. I think Ten Hag believes in him as an individual. I just do not believe that he's now playing him in the right position. You see what I'm saying? So I think Ten Hag is more so focused on him playing a more supporting striker role as opposed to the pinnacle striker role. You see what I'm saying? And I think that that is the issue. I think until the manager accepts that he is the top man of the team and puts him in that number nine position and puts him in that box every single time and gives him that full accolade and that full responsibility, I don't think he's going to get there. So I think Ten Hag believes in him, but just not playing him in the right position. Yes, and until I see Ten Hag playing him in the right position that I think he needs to be playing, for now, I don't think Ten Hag is the manager.
Okay, Rook, I want to ask you the same thing. Do you think Ten Hag is a manager to unlock Rashford, assuming you agree with the part about him needing to be unlocked?
I think he could be. I think it's too soon to tell if Ten Hag is the right manager for him. What I will say is Rashford looks to be playing with more confidence. And I know that Bruno also had a conversation with him about just focusing on the runs rather than worrying about linking play and passes and things like that, which points to what Emeka's saying about him being more of a target man. So I do think Ten Hag can be that guy, but I think it's too soon to definitively say yes or no.
Okay. I think Bruno needs to shut the fuck up as well.
Wow. I'm like, Bruno told him what?
He needs to shut up. That man needs to be removed from England. He's trash. Bruno is not as good as them. I agree. I'm telling you guys now. Bruno is trash.
That man, right. You don't have to do this.
Does not add any value to any teams.
We can move on.
Yeah, no. We can.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just shot himself in the foot there, bro.
Go ahead, George.
Tamar Gray.
Nah, but like, yeah. See, let's stop pretending. Rashford is not it. Like, Rashford is a running shoot type player.
George, what does that even mean?
No, that's the thing.
He runs and he shoots.
Like, what is he supposed
to
do?
Yo, like, bro, don't put... Rookie just said it. Bruno told Rashford to focus more about the runs. Because, guy, put him in a situation where he has to use his brain, and he will not. Like, guy, even the runs he does, I'm looking at that shit, I'm like, yo, guy, how? How are you supposed to get that goal?
So the two goals and one assist he created to basically win the game.
No,
Ennis. You wanted him to stop and go back and dribble the players on Alchemist. Like,
no, what? I'm not saying, bro, Ennis, what I'm saying is, you look at a player like Rashford. Yeah, you guys are now bringing what he's done recently because, what, he has scored two goals against Arsenal and he has, bro, guy, why weren't you guys talking about him when he like, try and dribble someone and, you know, he just bump into the person or he try and control the ball and he miscontrol it and, like, guy, come on, Rashford is not it. Let's be honest. Emeka once made a mistake and even tried to compare Rashford to Mbappe. That's how crazy you guys
That was me rating Mbappe low, not Rashford.
That doesn't make it better. Like,
at the time, Mbappe is quite literally what these guys are describing.
Rashford is that just that guy. Limit him to run his shoes. Like, what I'm saying is that put a boy. It's like, bro, like pro clubs. There's this one player we have. You understand? You have to put him in that position. The ball has to be in a position where he has to run and shoot.
Who is this player?
What did you think of his assist for Antony?
Yeah, that blew my mind. I'm like, yo, how did he pull that off? Like, this blew my mind. I'm like, yo, what? The guy has a brace to do that. Even for the assist for against Leicester. I think it was two. Yo, that was I'm like, wait. Rashford actually uses brain. He actually
maybe he's improving. Maybe that's what you're saying.
God, no, what I'm saying is, bro, a clock is right what? Once a day.
That's
yeah. So you have that.
Rashford has been hated on for so long. It has actually gotten to the guy's head.
Bro,
the guy's
it's only one player. Why do we keep bringing it up? Like, yo, is Rashford good? Is he not good? Just one player. Why do we keep bringing that up?
I feel like he remains in the conversation because his talent is there. So
yeah, because he can run.
Like, okay, so what happened to all of this that we're not seeing? And when he's bringing it out, it's like, okay, is he finally going to live up to what we are all expecting? It's not like a fucking Ryan Fraser where if he's flopping, we're going to ask questions because we don't really expect that much from the guy. Rashford has that in him. And it, like Emeka said, he has to just hit the purple patch where all of his potential, all of what he's good at, aligns with what the team needs under that coach, and then that's where the confidence starts building, the system, all of that happens. But I feel like it's right that he's in the conversation because his talent is there for everyone to see. Like
Rashford gives me that vibe that he's gonna be like 29, and then we're all sitting over here asking, "Yo,
what happened to his potential?
Is a coach going to unleash him? Is this is good?
You're
29 years
you're
old.
Basically, you're saying he's
like
going to be a walk-on.
Pretty much.
Yeah, trying to make him the reality.
Yeah, I hope that everything works out for Rashford. I do think that all the people asking for apologies need to wait a whole season. We saw him be trash for like a season and a half, maybe two, depending on your perspective. So, you know, at least let's get half of that time back.